Let us remain standing for the reading of God's Word for the sermon. Please note that sometimes the Word is present and is followed by rejection. Sometimes the Word is present and it is followed by rejection. As with the parables, so it is with the one who gave the parables. We shall see in this reading that people can be astonished and then offended and then lead to unbelief. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in your love and kindness, you have sent us Jesus Christ for the illumination of our darkness. Give us now ears to hear. May we receive his words and act upon them in courage and wisdom. By your Holy Spirit, give us ears and enable us to follow in the ways of your Son and our Savior, for we pray in his name. And amen. Amen. From Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. A full-out rejection of Jesus and his words doesn't always happen right away. A full-out rejection of Jesus' works or his ways doesn't always happen all at once. Let me remind you of the parable of the sower, the stony soil, and the weedy soil. For both of those hearers, the word was heard. For both of those hearers, the word was received. Eventually, after a period of time, there was a rejection. Rejection of Jesus and his words can happen after a season of time. The rejection of Jesus' works or his ways can happen after a series of experiences. And in our passage today, we see that it happens even after a season of astonishment. One of those soils received the word with enthusiasm, with a form of astonishment, and then bore no fruit. It is possible to be drawn in, and then after a time, push away. Our sermon today, our text today, astonishment, offense, and unbelief. Our passage begins, verse 53. Having finished these seven or eight parables, Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth. Jesus knew Nazareth. He knew the people and the places. Jesus was also known in Nazareth. Here, there were familiar faces. Jesus returns to his hometown, and reports of what he has been doing preceded his arrival. The townsfolk had heard about Jesus. The townsfolk had heard about what he was saying and what he was doing. This Jesus from our hometown is back. The rabbi of the reports is here. So Jesus returns to his hometown, and what does he do? Verses 54 through 56 show us that Jesus went into the synagogue. He went into the synagogue and teaches, and the townspeople were astonished. The Greek word could also be translated overwhelmed. Oh, wow. They were astonished. Overwhelmed, and in their amazement, they start to ask questions. They ask questions about his words, and they ask questions about his works. The question they ask about his words are this: where did he get this wisdom? They're asking about his teaching. Where did this hometown one get this wisdom? They also ask questions about his deeds. Where did he get these mighty works? We see this at the end of verse 54. Sure, they had heard reports about his teaching. They would have heard reports about his wondrous deeds as well. And we know from this passage that Jesus even did a few wondrous works in Nazareth. Just a few. Word would have gotten out. So they ask questions. But we need to pause. The questions that they were asking were not really questions about what they did not know. They were asking questions about what they already knew. The questions they were asking were about matters they already knew. Is this not the carpenter's son? Yes. Is not his mother called Mary? Yes. We know his brothers, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas. Yes. And his sisters. Are they not here with us as well? Yes. Where did he get these things? We can hear him teach. Where did he get this? This is right in front. Where did he get these mighty works? Where did they come from? Questions about what they already knew. Verse 57, right at the beginning. What's the response? They go from astonishment to offense. They go from being overwhelmed to being offended. Look at the beginning of verse 57. So they were offended at him. Well, he's teaching and he's done a few wondrous works. They ask some questions and so they were offended at him. We go from astonishment to offense already? That quickly? Offended. It's a fascinating word. I've mentioned it to you from this pulpit before. It's a Greek word that we get an English word, from which we get an English word. The Greek word is scandalizo. We get the word scandal from it. They were scandalized by Jesus. Scandalizo actually means stumble upon or stumble because of. It's like there's a block or a curb or a step. And somebody's walking along the way and they trip over that scandalos. They were scandalized by Jesus. By the way, we had seen this word earlier in the parables. I'll remind you of the parable of the sower casting seed upon the stony soil. There was soil there, but it was peppered with rocks. The word is used in that parable, but first let me remind you of that parable. The word is scattered, and those of the stony soil, they hear the word, and they receive the word immediately, right away, with enthusiasm. Then tribulation and persecution come in because of that same word. They receive the word, and then that word brings with it tribulation, general, persecution, particular, and they stumble because of the word. They are scandalized because of the word. Sadly, the ESV translates that word scandal as falling away. Really, they heard the word, they received the word, and then with what the word brings, tribulation and persecution, they stumble. That's not what I signed up for. And they trip up over that. Our passage goes from astonishment to offense. And to those who were offended, Jesus turns to them and he asks them this question, or he makes this statement. A prophet is not without honor. A word giver is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own house. And the last verse of our passage says this, and connected with that, he did not do many mighty works there. stop. How quickly can that path be traveled? From being astonished to being offended to unbelief. Those who saw, those who heard Jesus became offended by him. They were amazed at one point, at some time, and in some season of their life. And they were amazed, and they even asked about his teaching. Where did he get this wisdom? They were amazed by his wondrous works. Where did he get these mighty works? So here's a question for you. It's a question for all of us. What was the offense? What was the offense? What brought about their stumbling? What led them to be scandalized? What's so offensive about Jesus' teaching in the synagogue? What is such a trip hazard about the few wondrous works that Jesus did in Nazareth? Here, we could answer it this way. Okay, we know that Jesus' teaching is offensive to many who disagree. For the most part, people do not like to be told that they are wrong. Or that you're on the wrong path. Or that the path you're on is heading toward destruction. We could say that the people are offended because of Jesus' teaching. We could compare this with the parallel passage in Luke where Jesus stands up in the synagogue and a scroll is given to him and he finds the place in the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he reads and says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The response then, people were filled with wrath. Who do you think you are? But you know something? People could have been offended by Jesus' teaching. And you know, today people are still offended by Jesus' teaching. Maybe they were offended by Jesus' works, by what he did. We remember that some of the religious leaders recently, they were offended by Jesus' mighty works. Jesus' works of healing and forgiving. And you know what they said? They go, "No, those aren't good works. Those are works of the devil." They could have been offended by Jesus' works. What he's doing is by the prince of the demons. And by the way, this still happens today. The Lord Jesus Christ changes you, and sometimes people around you are offended by the work of the Lord. They've gone all crazy. They've gone all wacky. That stuff's offensive. It's possible that they were offended at Jesus' words and his works. However, it seems as if our passage is shining the light on something else. Something else that is right in front of us. Something that is so obvious that we might miss it. Our passage reveals that those who became offended were first overwhelmed and then they became offended at what they knew, or they thought they knew. They became offended at what was right in front of them and the who that was right in front of them. They became offended with what was right there. This, sadly, happens all too frequently. Look within. Don't look around. Tragically, this being offended and stumbling over that which is right in front of us is something that seems to be woven into our lives and into the spirit of our day. It is found in every little bit of our clamoring and our discontent. there is this offense is a dullness and a disregard for what has been given, for what is, and what is right before us. Astonishment, offense. This is an offense, if you'll allow this, at the ordinary. He lived here. He's speaking words. This is an offense at the ordinary, at being offended with what has been and taking offense with what is now present. Let me try to explain. This is something that usually happens whenever the root and the fruit of sin's deceptiveness takes hold of us. Someone is not content with the ways of the Lord. Someone is not content with what the Lord has done. Someone is not content with what's right in front of them. So they aim to spice things up with something else or with someone else because they have sniffed at the ordinary. There's got to be something more in their thinking. There's got to be, where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get these wondrous works? There's got to be something more. Ordinary has become a bad word today. Ordinary. What I'd like to do is to exalt the ordinary and to point out the ordinary for all of its glorious ordinariness. And how about if I use some biblical terms instead of the ordinary? Because we have a tendency to coat the word ordinary with dust and tamp it down and then put a dusty blanket over it and keep it there. How about these biblical words? Faithfulness, steadfastness, endurance. How ordinary is endurance? Well, endurance, for it to be present, is a daily, hourly, momentary bit of the ordinary. That's what faithfulness is. How about other words? Constancy, consistency. The offense at the ordinary, that which is known and that which is given, that which is right now present and right before us, opens the door to many other sins. It is a disregard of faithfulness. I was working through this and I was reminded of some of the comments by Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. I'll read just a little bit. Costly grace, he contrasts this with cheap grace. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy, which the merchant will sell with all his goods. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. It's this consistency, this constancy, this faithfulness. Oh, but is it possible to become dulled by the ordinary? And to go, J.C. Ryle said it well, and this stings. We are all apt to despise mercies if we are accustomed to them and have them cheap. Again, we are all apt to despise mercies if we are accustomed to them and have them cheap. Instead, contentment is not inactive. Contentment is active. Contentment is the production of grace, and grace is always active. Contentment is an assassination of our pride that says, I want something more than what the Lord has given. Contentment is an assassination of our pride, and contentment is a grateful embrace of what the Lord has provided. The spirit of discontent despises the present situation and is always looking back and looking ahead and over. The spirit of discontent despises the present situation and looks back. And then the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom literature, 7:10, Ecclesiastes addresses this. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Oh, and sometimes we'll look at the present moment and go, I remember those days, and we miss what the Lord has right now. Contentment increases joy in the present, and shows itself in faithfulness, ordinarily. And this is seen in the kitchen and in the classroom. This is seen at home and on the road. Contentment and faithfulness receives the Lord's present provision with gratitude and looks to the future with hope, knowing that the Lord does all things well. What is faithfulness right now? Right here. There's our text today. Jesus goes to his hometown, and some respond with astonishment. And then they become offended, and this hardens into unbelief. And is it interesting that unbelief breeds unbelief? Unbelief grows unbelief. Whereas faith, how do you grow in faith? Through the faithful, ordinary reception of what the Lord has given us. So the passage ends with the word and. And Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief breeds unbelief. And then 1 month down the road, 6 months down the road, 3 years down the road, somebody's looking back and go, what happened? What a wonderful warning, but what a wonderful welcome. Let us continue to be astonished with the gift that our Lord gives us. Word and sacrament, one another. Let us be on guard against being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Watch out for the scandal, because that's a rejection of the faith of faithfulness, of a reception of the ordinary. And let us grow in faith. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to be hearers and doers of your word, to admire and obey your teaching, to profess and to practice what you have put before us, to grow in contentment, to grow in gratitude, to live your gospel. We pray all of this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, and amen.